السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, also our sisters who listen over the receivers, I was planning to discuss this ayat of the Quran Sharif, which I have discussed many times in the past. But then suddenly, looking at the conditions around us, looking at the situation around us, the fear that has gripped the hearts of everyone, whether the person is pious or not, it is immaterial. It does not mean that the pious people will not have any kind of natural fear. As I explained the other night, that if there is a very pious person and he has to go to Kruger National Park, then he too will stay in his car with the window tightly closed. In fact, he may close it even tighter. It does not mean because he is very pious, so all those lions will not make a samosa out of him. This is a world of means in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system operates. So natural laws are there, that the person will have some kind of natural grief, natural sorrow. Rasul e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he lost his son Ibrahim, then he said, Ya Ibrahim, inna bi firaqika la mahzunun, that we are grieved at your loss. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shed tears also. But the tongue only said that which was haq. So natural fear is a different thing. It will grip everybody. But that fear which comes on account of azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, now it seems that that kind of fear has gripped each and every one of us. No person feels any kind of safety or security anymore. Those days people used to say, well, we have a police force, we have some security guards. But now we are saying the other way around, that you cannot trust the security guards, you cannot trust the police force. Thefts and crime has increased so much that irrespective of what number of polices they have, you cannot bring anything under control. It is spiraling. So at such a time, it is necessary that the person must make the preparation that is required also. We should not just relax. Sharia doesn't say that you must just relax and just make dua and expect everything to happen. There has to be some kind of effort that you have to put. So the making use of the means, nobody stops us. We make use of all the means. And one of the means is that we must train ourselves also in self-defense, martial arts, or whatever it may be. But again, we must not be foolish and naive that 20 people are attacking and the person says, no, I know a little bit of martial arts, so I'm going to defend myself. So he will become another candidate for the Brook Street Cemetery. So there has to be some kind of intelligence that is also used. But together with the preparation, which we term as tadbir, there is no escape route. We have to turn towards Allah Ta'ala and ask Him for protection. Protection is in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala alone. And that is what we were discussing in those 8 lessons. I think that's where we left off before we left. for Makkah Mukarrama Madina Tayyiba. Inshallah, we'll come back to that. So the protection is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala alone. We must not trust in those means that we have adopted, but we have to make use of those means. And those means are for our own comfort. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not question us, why did you make use of means? Didn't you know that I am the one who protects and I am the one who provides risk and sustenance? So then why did you go and open your business? Why did you go to the farm? Why did you go to your profession? This is a world of means, so we go, but we don't trust in those means. So what I was getting at is that at present we can see that there is nothing but fear which has gripped the businessman, the housewife, the professional person. The doctor's practices are not safe. The engineer's practice is not safe. The electrician's practice is not safe. Nobody seems to be safe. The business houses are not safe. Our homes are not safe, even though we may have made them like prisons, with all the equipment that we can find, but yet they are not safe. So where else will the person get safety? We have to turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had the greatest trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But yet he taught the ummah du'as to make to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for the protection of wealth, for the protection of health. The protection of health does not lie just in medication. The protection of a person's health is not just in medication. The person can be taking the best medication, healthy foods he is eating, and he's on a very, very strict diet. He doesn't eat anything that is damaging to the health. He doesn't take any kind of drugs. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't do anything. But one accident and his liver is ruptured. His lung is ruptured. His heart is affected. The veins and the nerves and the arteries are all affected. His brain is damaged. So will all that diet help? Will all that medication help? So who is the one that will protect the person from that accident or from that disaster? It is none other than but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So difficulties and hardships will come. It will come upon everybody, whether the person is pious or he is not. However, there will be a difference that when difficulties and hardships and problems come upon the pious and the righteous, as you have heard many times from me, that will be like the writing of an examination in which the paper has been set very difficult. A very difficult paper has been set by the examiner. And when he sees the candidate is stuck, he is just glued. He doesn't know what to do. So he asks him, why are you in such kind of pain and problem? So the candidate says that the paper is very difficult. So the examiner says, I set the paper. So put your hand into my hands and I will write the answers for you. Will that paper then be difficult? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has decided what is going to happen. We will make use of the means, but none of us knows what's going to happen the very next second. So if the decision is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a test and a trial, so even though that paper may be very difficult, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself gives that person sabr, or he holds his hand and takes him over that difficulty and hardship. So outwardly they may be suffering, but inside the heart there will be nothing but sukoon. Many things we see from the outside which appear very, very disastrous, but we cannot see the reality behind it. There was one family member who was also attacked and he passed away. So I was giving some nasihat to the family, because outwardly it appeared as if that person had suffered such kind of injuries and such kind of pain and such kind of suffering. Because when you look at the body sometimes of the person that met up in an accident, or the person that was shot, the person that was stabbed a number of times, then to us it appears that this was the worst kind of thing that could have happened. So indeed, For some people that is an azab of Allah Ta'ala, but for the believers, we believe that some of these type of incidents that are taking place, they are nothing but shahadat for that person. Therefore, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, as an ihsan upon the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as a favor upon the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, caused many incidents to occur in the history of Islam, in the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Such incidents occurred that we take lessons from there, we take consolation in that. All those who have been for Hajj and Umrahs, have been for ziyarat to Madina Sharif. The ziyarat is incomplete without a visit to the mountain of Uhud. Uhud ke shaheedon ke khoon e wafa se sabak leke paband e dastoor rahunga. The first thing that I will do is take lessons from the things that happened in Uhud. Look at the loyalty of the companions of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gave their lives, but they were not prepared to allow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to suffer any kind of injury or pain. They took the spears and swords and attacks, the spears that were, and the arrows that were coming, they took it on their own hands and on their own bodies. But nobody said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we have believed in you, you are the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you are the closest to Allah ta'ala. Nobody's du'as can be more accepted than your du'as, then why this suffering? They understood the meaning of that suffering. But there was consolation in there for people like us long, long after Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That look at the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. After having been martyred, they take his nose off, cut his ears, slice his chest and take off his liver and heart. And to taunt the Muslim, they even chew it. That woman chews it. What condition that body must have been in? It was in such a condition that such a strong and powerful Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who possessed the sabr of mountains, but he too couldn't help tearing when he saw the body of his uncle. And he said, if it had not been for my aunt Safiya, because it was his uncle, so he said, my aunt Safiya, then I would have said, must leave the body just like that. Let the creatures, birds, insects, animals eat it up. And on the day of Qiyamah, the parts of the body rise from the different things that had eaten it up. And say, this is the sacrifice I made for your deen, O Allah. So outwardly the condition was such that it would have disturbed and perturbed anybody. Even Nabi of Allah teared. But what is his status? Sayyidu Shuhada, leader of all the martyrs, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. So look at the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All these things happen so that we take consolation, that in somebody's family, if you see that some person was shot, Allah Ta'ala must protect each and every one of us and the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and all mankind. But if the person has been shot, the person has met up with an accident and the body is very badly damaged, in terrible condition, then we must not rush to conclusion and start making such kind of statements that look at what happened to this person. He must have been a great sinner in his life. That is why we are seeing his body in this condition. We don't know what his status is in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It may have been shahadat of a very high level. Therefore you take lesson from the incident of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. That place is there for nothing but lessons. Everywhere around there is nothing but lessons. It is not a place of tourism that the person just went and came. Makkatul Mukarrama, what is there? The toil, the hardship, the difficulties, the tests, the trials. 3 years solid ostracism and boycott, where the time comes that when even they have to chew leather and chew leaves of trees for survival. 3 years. Today we go there, we make tawaf with such ease and such comfort, we don't even recall what happened there even in the Haram Sharif. Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that same Haram Sharif when he used to go down in Sajda. On one occasion, Abu Jahl, he said, that is there anybody who can bring the intestine of some camel that has been slaughtered? And one unfortunate member of the Kuffari brought, and they put it on the back of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when he went into Sajda. Kaha meri qismat tawaf-e haram, jis zami par chale the Nabi ke qadam. Kaha meri qismat tawaf-e haram, jis zami par chale the Nabi ke qadam. Jis se chipke the kul seena-e anbiya, mere seene ko hasil hai wo multazam. Way in my fortune that I get the opportunity of making tawaf-e-haram, that same piece of ground on which walked the feet of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How many times we say, my father owned the shop, this shop here he owned those days. This is the house in which my parents lived. This is the house in which we grew up. This is the farm in which we lived. Anything that is related, and people go visiting different places of the world where some poet was born or some poet lived or some ruler governed or some king had a palace. Now here we say this is the piece of ground, and you can take qasam and say that that is that piece of ground on which the mubarak and clean and pure park feet of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked. 124,000 companions of his walked. 124,000 Nabis of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala walked. So we take lessons from all those things. But that is again diverting, going some in different direction. So what I was saying is that Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved his ummah dearly. So on the one hand, we are told to make use of the means that Allah ta'ala has created. And amongst the means is also dua. Dua is also a means of protection. Just as we have security guards, we have burglar alarms, and we have so much of other security equipment. In the same way, we should be making plenty of dua also. Give up sins and make plenty of dua. Then, even though the conditions around the country and around the world and in our locality and society may be very dangerous and very frightening, but still the Allah Walas, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them some kind of sukoon in their hearts. Shahon ke saro par taaje gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Shahon ke saro par taaje gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Aur ahle wafa ke seeno mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. The kings may have crowns on their heads, they may have palaces, they have got military might and power, but all these things cause them a headache. In spite of having all those things, but they are suffering a terrible headache, always fearing revolution, overthrow, coup d'etat. And looking at what has happened recently, the rulers are fearing that they must not end up in prison. Today they've got a crown on their head, and tomorrow they could be in prison. But those who are ahle wafa, they are loyal to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other way. We have to prove our loyalty. We have claimed that we are Muslims, we are believers. Why else do we come here to the masjid? We have claimed that we are believers in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we have to prove our loyalty. And the tests and trials are not coming upon us like it came upon the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Simple little things we have to do and stay away from some haram, fulfill the rights of people, invite towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the person is a waliullah. So the ahle wafa, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, causes an ocean of nur to flow in their hearts. So du'as is something that we have to cling on to. It really gives you a lot of strength, it gives you a lot of hope. You truly believe that someone is listening to you and someone who has got power, might and strength, and he can fulfill those wishes and desires. In his wisdom, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, still, if he causes some kind of test and trial and difficulty and hardship to come upon someone, so then he takes lessons from what happened to the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam himself, and he will still find peace and solace. Tests and trials must come.
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.
There's no time to go into any tafsir or detail. But tests and trials will come. Some fear, some hunger, loss in wealth, loss in property, loss in some fortune that the person possessed. And samarat here doesn't just mean fruits. The fruits and production, it's the production of our factories, our industries and everything else, that's also the fruit. So there will be some sort of loss as a test and trial if the person is giving his zakat properly. That is the most important thing. The first thing that the person must check when there is a loss, some gold, some silver, some money, some cash is lost, or somebody came and purchased a lot of goods and then disappeared, never paid. So we must check our zakat. One lady said, "Maulana, I paid my zakat 100%. And yet my jewelry got lost." I said, "Well then, probably Allah Ta'ala is testing you. He took some jewelry away and saved you from big accident that could have taken place. Some big azab and bala could have come. Allah Ta'ala protected you from that. And a little bit of loss in the wealth, you made sabr." But then I asked her one question. "Since when are you paying zakat?" She said, "From the time that I got married." So I said, "Zakat became farz upon you only after you got married. When did you have jewelry? When did you have some cash?" Because I knew that she was from a wealthy family. She said, "No, from my childhood days, my parents used to deposit a lot of money into my account. They opened an account for me. And my mother gave me jewelry and so many other occasions I had." So I said, "Now from the time that you became of age until the time that you got married, did you calculate how much zakat you had to pay? So you made tawbah and you started paying from the time you got married, but what about the zakat that was due before that?" So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that most of the losses, or that is the mafhum of that hadith, that any loss that takes place, whether it is on land or sea, it is due to zakat not being paid properly. Now of course it doesn't mean every person's loss is because of that. As I said, that sometimes Allah Ta'ala wants to give plentiful on the sabr that the person exercises, or he wants to remove some other difficulty, hardship that this person was going to face in his life. So a little bit of wealth goes away, but the person is protected. But generally, it is the zakat which is not paid. Our calculation of zakat is haphazard. I have a whole shop full of stocks, and people come for donation collection, so I write down 50 rand zakat, 1000 rand zakat, 100 rand zakat, and at the end of the day say, "Well, I gave a lot of charities, I gave a lot of zakat." But did we calculate? Did we work out how much stocks we got? For the receiver of revenue, we are very concerned. For the receiver of revenue, we are concerned. And here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not taking tax from us. That zakat is an ibadat. And when the person will give his zakat properly, then look at the rewards that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised. And one of the rewards is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect that person's wealth and property. So du'as, we have to learn how to make du'as. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself has taught the ummah beautiful du'as to be made. For protection from loss in the person's property, in his health and all other things. The time is expiring. Inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity, then we will discuss the du'a of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or the du'a that he taught the ummah, which we have discussed before. So But it is nice to repeat those things, especially in these times when there's so much of fear that has gripped everyone. Which person can say that, no, I've got no fear? Which person can say that his car is safe, that his family is safe, that his home is safe? Those people who had the greatest amount of security, they too were attacked. So there is no other solution to our problems. We make use of the means, nobody stops us. But Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in all his ahadith, they have mentioned very, very clearly that when you are going to indulge in these type of sins, then these are the types of azab that will come upon you. There will be exception that few people, not ones like us, those who are really pious and righteous, not those who just make some kind of five-time namaz and consider themselves as very pious and very righteous and very holy. It is only Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that He conceals our sins. He does not expose them like the Bani Israel. Whatever sins they committed at night, in the morning the people could read it on their doors, that this person committed adultery, this person committed theft, this person committed this sin, and this person committed that sin. Imagine if on our doors in the mornings the people passing by would have read what dandas we did at night, what dark sins we engaged in. What would have been our condition? Therefore, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, "Ey Khuda I bandara ruswa makun. Ey Khuda I bandara ruswa makun. Garbadam man sirre man paida makun." Whole night at the Multazam, behind Muqam Ibrahim, he read this. "Oh Allah, I know I'm a very sinful person," and yet he is a great wali of Allah. "I know I'm a very sinful person. But don't bring any embarrassment, shame, disgrace and humiliation upon me. That people come to know that these are the sins that the person is committing. That's embarrassment. I know that I'm a sinful person, but don't expose my sins. Whether it is in this life or in the grave or in the akhirat, Ya Allah, conceal my sins. Hey Khuda, I vandara ruswamakun. Garbadam man sirriban." May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all and the ummah with good health, with long life, with prosperity, with happiness. May Allah ta'ala change the conditions of adversity to that of prosperity, conditions of insecurity to that of security. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of entire mankind. There is an ijtima that will be taking place in Chatsworth, and that is the purpose of these ijtimas also, to draw people out of their homes and businesses and other places and instill in their hearts the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to give some direction in life. It is not a complete deen, but it at least changes the person's direction in life if he spends some time correctly, sincerely, without any other motivation, worldly greed or anything of that sort. Then it is a way in which the person can also go in the right direction. So 16, 17, 18, there is an ijtima in Chatsworth. Join some work of deen, stay occupied in some kind of activity of deen with sincerity, then we will stay protected. Otherwise shaitan and nafs will just drag the person this way or that way. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.